You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Brothers and sisters, I'm feeling real good because it ain't over.
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Well, praise the Lord, mighty men, women of God, we thank God for you this morning. We have a wonderful treat all the way from Tennessee, soon to be arriving in Florida.
More hints.
Praise the Lord. I have Prophetess Celeste and Minister Alex. Praise the Lord. They were with us the other day. As a matter of fact, he's getting ready to go back to Tennessee, him and Prophetess. And I really wanted him to get this message out about now. As a matter of fact, I believe Celeste mentioned to me that he was writing a book, praise the Lord. And so, praise God, we want to give you a little inside information. I know he can't, you know, do but so much, but inside information as to this book that he's writing. And I want to throw the fact out there that I have written a book, and it's at the publisher's, soon to be arriving at a store or a site on the media, whatever, near you. I can't even think of what are some of those sites that they put it on, but anyways we want to just throw that out there. Praise the Lord. So I'm not going to be holding up this broadcast any longer. I want to go ahead and turn it over to him. Praise God, man of God, introduce yourself. But quickly, I thank God for my beautiful wife for 33 plus years. I can't leave her out. All right, go ahead, man of God.
And I'm the same way. I thank God for my lovely, beautiful wife of 7.5 months, almost 8 months. We got married last July, and she is my Ephesians 3:20. She is above all I could ask or think. I mean, I really mean that. It's my baby. Her name is Celeste.
Say hello, Celeste.
Hello. All
right, good. Okay, thank you, Apostle. Have us come on here and do this here. Okay, yeah. So we'll just get straight into it. This is just something that my spiritual father, Rick Manis, said something about 25 years ago, actually almost 26 years ago now. He was preaching one morning, and he said, God is changing the nature of your struggle by taking time out of the equation. And when he first said that, I knew it was God, but it felt like something went over my head. So I was sitting there, I was like, Father, I know that's you, but that just went clean over my head. So I just didn't get the revelation on it. Then a couple of years later, he started preaching. He started preaching this message because he said the Lord told him it's time to get my people into the now zone. And he said, start teaching my people to expect things to happen faster. And then the Lord just started talking to me about that kind of stuff. And then I had a book from a man named John Avanzini, and he said, talking about scandals in the church. And he said, the greatest scandal in the church is when a Christian prays and nothing happens. And so when he said that, it just kind of just shook me, because, you know, never heard anybody say it before in my life. And then the Lord said, okay, you can put that book down. Now it's time to get in the Word. And so he just started supernaturally showing me that the will of God is for our prayers to be answered now. And he just showed me scripture after scripture after scripture. So what I'm getting ready to say, this isn't like some new teaching. It's been in the Word all the time, but it's just because of years of tradition covering it up and years of false teaching. Not saying it's deliberate false teaching, but just, you know, tradition has taught us a lot of things. You know, just like the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees was a religious sect that started about 120 years before Jesus was born. And their whole mission was, they noticed in the scriptures that the Messiah was coming soon. And so they wanted to prepare themselves, which is why they studied so intently. They actually had the first five books of the Bible, what we call the Torah. They had it memorized. They could quote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They could quote it from memory, but when the living word showed up, they didn't recognize them. because no matter how much you study the written word of God, you have to stay in tune with the Spirit of God.
Right.
Because the spoken word came first, and then the written word came down, and then the spoken word again. So this, they're both important.
Right.
You can't have the written word without the spoken word, because right. because the spoken word was first. God spoke, and then we wrote about it. God spoke, and then we wrote about it.
Right.
And so the living word came, and those who knew the written word didn't recognize it. So I'm just going to keep going. Okay, so so the first scripture that the Lord showed me let me go back to Exodus. Let me go back to Exodus chapter 3. Okay.
And I want to say something about what he just said. He was just saying something that's so profound. It really talks about this now, how you operate in the now. And you may end up titling the book The Now Generation. But a lot of the church does not understand that God spoke to the prophets. That was a rhema word. Then it became logos word by writing it down.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's supposed to become a rhema word again, that as we read it and as we're led by the Holy Spirit, that we then speak the word again.
Yes.
But we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, we won't step into the now.
That's good. That's good. That's good. Good preaching. Good preaching, babe. My helper. She's amazing. Okay, we're going to go to Exodus chapter 3. Pretty much it's the burning bush experience where God is speaking to Moses. I'm not going to read the whole passage because we don't have that much time, but
we're going to shoot 2 segments, so go ahead and I want you to really get this thing out.
Okay, so God was speaking to Moses at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3, and of course we know Moses was the grandson of Pharaoh. He was sooner or later going to be next in line to run Egypt. He killed the slave master. Somehow Pharaoh found out about it. Moses ran for his life, was in the wilderness for 40 years. He pretty much left his Egypt life and became a sheep herder,
right.
A shepherd. Lived out there for 40 years. He was minding his own business, and he walked by, and he saw a bush that was on fire. He said it was burning, but it wasn't burning up. It wasn't being consumed. Turns out it was the Lord speaking through the bush. So we're going to go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 6. He says, the Lord said, moreover, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid. Verse 7, the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up to the land. Verse 9, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I've also seen the oppression with the Egyptians oppressed them. Verse 10, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses says, but who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Then verse 12, God says, I will certainly be with you. Then Moses said again in verse 13, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say, what's his name? What should I say to them? This is it right here. Verse 14, God says to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you. Moses is basically saying, Lord, I've been out of Egypt for 40 years. I'm basically a nobody. So you're telling me to go back to, you're telling me to go to Pharaoh, who I left his home. I left my house. I left him. So who am I going to say sent me? He said, you tell him I am sent you. I am. Two words that we don't get. I am means I am, present tense. He said, you tell them that the present tense has sent you. Another word for present tense is now.
Wow.
So when Moses says, who am I going to say sent me? He said, you tell them now sent you.
Wow.
And so the Holy Spirit just started saying, that's my name. God's name is now. His name is now. Because whenever we think of God, we always think of action. We always think of God doing something.
Right.
And right there in Exodus chapter 3, God wants us to know his name is action, present tense action, mm-hmm. not future action. He's not, I'm going to be, I will be one day, some way, way down there. He said, my name is now. Everything God does, he does in the now. And so that's the thing that the Holy Spirit started teaching me. And so he just showed me verse after verse after verse. Then he jumped me over to Luke chapter 4, when Jesus had just come out of the wilderness.
Uh-huh.
And his first thing was he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, he picked up the book of Isaiah and started to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are bruised, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and because he closed the book and then sat back down. Verse 21, he began to say to them, today, when? Today, now, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So all who bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, is this not Joseph's son? But the thing is, he said, they all bore witness to him, which means they all heard him say, today the scripture is fulfilled. Yeah. And he said, and they marveled at the gracious words. And I was like, gracious? Well, what was so gracious about those words? The now part, the today part. Because God had been promising mankind since Adam and Eve in the garden that he was going to send someone to fix what mankind broke.
Yeah.
And all of Judaism, if you stop and think about God revealing himself to Abraham in Genesis chapter 15, God cut that covenant with Abraham. And everything God did, he was doing it for Abraham right then. Mm-hmm. But when he cut the covenant, he said, I'm giving you the land of Canaan, but in 400 years, I'm going to send your descendants in to possess it, because I'm giving the Canaanites time to repent. He said, their iniquity is not yet full.
Right.
Okay, so when God sent Moses to Pharaoh to deliver them, it had been 400 years. The iniquity of the Canaanites was full. That's why Moses went to Pharaoh and said, the Lord has told me to let my people go so that they may go into the promised land and worship, because time was up.
Right.
It was the now time to move. Okay, so all of Judaism was based on God moving now, but also God is going to send someone to deliver basically the Messiah. Okay, so
I say something for people that may have questions for you right quick.
Sure.
Because you know, you have some people that say, well, you know, I don't know, God don't always seem to do stuff. Well, some things are according to your faith. And I remember when the man of God, Elisha, was at the gate, and he said there's going to be food at the gate within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And there was someone at the gate that didn't believe it. He didn't have the faith for it, even though he had a dust says the Lord. And so, I would just encourage people to be open about, you know, God doing things, because even when we look and we see time is, we see the earth is sped up on its axle. It's moving faster, and they're trying to figure out how they're going to have to deal with this. And so I just believe that nothing happens in the natural realm until something happens in the spirit realm. Go ahead, man of God.
Yes, sir. And just like you said, you know, this word might sound strange, and, you know, it doesn't seem like God does things in the now, but that just reminds me of a verse that my wife Celeste quotes a lot. Hebrews chapter 1. It said, God, who in times past, who has revealed himself and spoken to us through prophets and dreams, has now revealed himself through his Son. If you go back to what Jesus said, he said, I don't say anything unless I hear the Father say it,
right.
And I don't do anything unless I see the Father do it. So the reason why that verse is so important, thank you, Celeste, the reason why that verse is so important is because even Jesus said, if you want to know what the Father looks like, if you want to know what the Father's like, take a look at me.
Yeah.
If you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah.
I don't say anything unless he tells me to say it, and I don't do anything unless he tells me to do it.
Yeah.
So if we're going to have a relationship with the Father, which is what Jesus came to establish, we have to look at Jesus to see what the Father's like.
That's right.
Well, if you take a look at Jesus' ministry, Jesus was doing everything like this.
Yeah.
Jesus didn't make anybody wait for anything, and that's the thing that the Holy Spirit started showing me.
Well, and I want to say too,
yeah,
that scripture you just read, "Let my people go," that was God saying, "You're no longer a slave."
Yes.
See, but this establishment, the religious establishment, the governmental establishment, is like, no, wait, you've been our slave for all these years. No, you're not going anywhere. And that's what will happen. That's like what you just talked about, Apostle, is that many of you are called at this time, and time is speeding up, and it's time for you to step into that call. But you're like, wait, you know, I've just been, you know, doing this job, or I've just been, you know, a at-home mom. But God's saying, no, you're in all that's important. And those are even things that God gave you to do. But he's saying, no, I need you to step into this new, this now, right now. And so they were known as the slaves, but God's like, you're not a slave any longer. From today on, you're not a slave anymore. You have to make a choice. They could have stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I taught Pilates. I helped teach in schools. I raised my kids for, you know, 20 years. But then God said, now I need you to step out into ministry, into your apostolic call. Well, that's different for some people, you know, because for one thing, I'm a woman. Well, you're a woman apostle? Yeah, I am. You know, I lived in 9 states in the last 15 years. And one of those moves during a hurricane, I was like, God, what's up with all these moves? He's like, this is part of your apostolic call, you know. And so, but many people want to label me as a Pilates teacher, as a stay-at-home mom. And all of that is seasons that I had to do in order to train me for what I'm stepping into, you know, even today. But we have to be willing to go and to, and you need to let God's people go. Let your brother go when he needs to go on the mission field. Let yourself go from the last season.
Yeah.
To step into the now.
Yes. It's a new season. Thank you so much. It's a new season, and this is a new chapter, you know, and Jesus started this new chapter. So like Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I don't say anything unless I hear him say it. I don't do anything unless I see him do it. And so the Holy Spirit just started asking me questions. He's like, when did you ever see in the four Gospels Jesus make anybody wait for anything? The Holy, you know, because Jesus said the Holy Spirit will teach you. Well, teachers ask their students questions to get them to think. And so he was like, when did you ever see Jesus in the four Gospels make anybody wait for anything? And I was like, well, you know, and I started going through scriptures and going through scriptures. And there was one time when Jesus was told that Lazarus was sick, mm-hmm. and the Lord told Jesus to wait for him to die. Then as soon as he died, he's like, okay, time to go. And the reason why he did that was because by the time Jesus got to Lazarus, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. His body was already decomposing. And so it's not like he was dead for like an hour and Jesus raised him. He was dead and his body was already rotting for 4 days.
Right.
So the reason why the Heavenly Father wanted his son Jesus to wait was because he wanted everyone to see that Jesus had total authority over life and over death. You know, Lazarus' body wasn't still warm. It was ice cold over. Follow what I'm saying? But other than that, if you might have had a few maggots. Plus the Bible says when he rolled the stone away, his body was already stinking. His body was already decomposing. Process had started. Okay? But like if you take a look at all the other miracles in the Bible, in those four Gospels, and I'm focusing on the four Gospels for a reason. Jesus said, if you want to know what the Father's like, take a look at me.
Right.
And Jesus also came to establish a relationship that mankind did not have. In Judaism, God's name was so holy, they wouldn't even spell it out all the way. They wouldn't spell Yehovah. They would just do, you know, the tetragramming.
Right.
You know, YWH or YWHW, whatever it was. YHWH. Even in Hebrew writings now, when rabbis write books about God, they don't even write God. They write G-D. Because in their religious mindset, God's name is so holy that you can't even say it. But the disciples one night asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Mm-hmm. And it's not that they didn't know how to pray, because Jews have a prayer for everything. Back then, they had a prayer for when you came into town. They had a prayer for when you left the town. They had a prayer for, like, if they hadn't seen a friend in a long time, they prayed a special prayer. When those two friends left, they prayed. But the Jews knew how to pray. They had all kinds of prayers. Okay, but what the disciples were wanting, they wanted to pray like Jesus because Jesus got results.
Yeah.
They followed Jesus for 3 years, and every time Jesus prayed, it happened immediately. Yeah. So they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. I mean, Jesus, teach us to pray and get results like you do.
Right.
Jesus said, okay, if you want to pray like me, here's the first thing, our Father. Yeah. In other words, he's not just God anymore. If you want to pray like me and get results like me, you have to understand he's your Father first. And even when Jesus would speak in front of the Pharisees and talk about God as his Father, if you go back and look at the scriptures, they would pick up stones to stone him because he called Jesus his Father. Because back then in Hebrew culture, the Father and the sons are one.
Yeah.
Once a boy goes through bar mitzvah, he's considered a man. And in that culture back then, he could go represent his father in anything. And according to Hebrew culture, he has to be treated equal to his dad. So when Jesus said, I and the Father are one, the Pharisees knew what he was saying. He was saying, me and the Father are equal. The Father God and I are one and the same. So basically, in that culture, if I come in the name of my Father, you have to honor me, Apostle Thomas. You have to honor me like right. I'm my daddy.
Right.
That's why the Pharisees tried to kill Jesus for saying that, because they knew what he was trying to say. If you don't listen to me, if I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you like it's God himself talking to you.
That's good.
Okay, So the importance of that is when Jesus speaks to us, it's like the Heavenly Father speaking to us. When Jesus ministers, it's like the Heavenly Father's ministering. Jesus said, if you want to know what the Father's like, take a look at me. So I just started looking at those scriptures, and he just said, go through the four Gospels and find one time where somebody came to Jesus for help and he didn't help them right there on the spot.
Yeah, but the religious structure, which was, you know, the ones that spent their life preparing the people for the Messiah, they were the biggest fight against the now, yeah. against Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so we find that today, the religious structure that we've, you know, when you're young, your parents want you to eat, you know, a balanced meal. But some of us don't like vegetables, so we prefer the meat, or we prefer, you know, the carbs, whatever it is. Yeah, ice cream. But you got to eat, you know, all that. And so we can't be picky eaters when it comes to God's word. We have to have the whole counsel of his word.
Yes.
And if we want to see the now.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so Jesus, the Holy Spirit took me to John chapter 15. Mm-hmm. The first scripture took me to it after you started talking to me was John chapter 15. You know what Jesus talked about, I'm the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Then he just had me read all of that. And then when I got down into verse 7, Jesus says this, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so you will be my disciples. So Jesus was saying, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me you can do nothing because I'm the vine, you're the branches. You get your life from the vine. So Jesus is telling his disciples, you get your life from me. Without me, you can do nothing. So abide in me. Mm-hmm. In the same way branches abide in the vine. If you live in me and let my word live in you, you can ask me anything you want and I'll do it for you. Then he says why? So that the Father in heaven is glorified. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit just started telling me, the Father in heaven is not glorified when you pray and nothing happens. Right. He don't get glory from that. That's why Jesus never did it. If you stop and think about Judaism, God had been promising the Jews for almost 3,000 years. Well, he's been promising mankind for almost 3,000 years that he was sending someone. So for Jesus to come as the Messiah and make them wait longer didn't really make any sense. Because Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord, he quoted Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to heal you, open blind eyes, to set at liberty those who have been bound.
Right.
What kind of deliverer says, I'm here to set you free from bondage, but sit another 5 years? That's not a deliverer.
Or tell you to hold on.
Or tell you to hold on.
Preaching a message, hold on, hold
right,
on.
Right, right, because the Jews had already been used to waiting. They'd already been waiting for almost 2,000 years. Why would the deliverer come and make them wait another month?
We got to be careful what we're holding on to.
Absolutely.
What are we holding on to?
Absolutely.
What's keeping us from stepping into what God has for us today?
And the thing that keeps us holding... Good thing. The thing that keeps us from stepping into what God has us for as far as now is our old thinking. Yeah. Our thinking process needs to change, which is why we got to look at those four Gospels. And the Holy Spirit was saying, if you want to see what the Father's like, look at the four Gospels of Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament promises that the Messiah is coming. That's those four Gospels. From the book of Acts to the end of Revelation, from the book of Acts to Jude, it's talking about who the Father is now that Jesus has shown us who he is. So everything in the Old Testament is saying someone is coming. Jesus says, that someone is me. I'm here. Yeah. Then the book of Acts says, okay, now that he's come, lived, died, and left us to finish what he started, this is what we have to do.
Amen.
And so Jesus didn't make anybody wait. And so in the book of Acts, if you take a look at the Gospels and how those apostles in the early church went out, when they went out and ministered, they didn't make anybody wait either.
And some people wait so long. What's that thing you say about... Texas minister.
Yeah. That verse in Proverbs, it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Yeah.
You see, religion teaches us that praying and then waiting for 20 years with a positive attitude is a show of faith. Actually, it isn't. Because according to Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says that faith is the substance of what you hope for. It is the evidence of what you don't see. And then you see, then he gives all these examples of how by faith, we know that the world's a frame. God spoke and it happened. By faith, we know that it said by faith, Moses heard the word of God and was moved by fear to build the ark. And by him building the ark, his obedience condemned the world. So God speaks, we hear, we believe, and we immediately start doing it.
But if you don't, the graveyards. What was that thing about the graveyard?
This has been good. We're about out of time.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. And so 2 minutes. And so anyways, we want to go ahead and give your email information, your ministry, Facebook page, website. We just thank God for you and you and your wonderful wife. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Okay. All right then. So we do have a Facebook page. It's called All Global Ministries, AWE Global, GLOBAL. All Global Ministries. You'll see a picture of me and my wife on there, Celeste and James on there. Lovely couple. As far as our email address, in case you want to contact us for ministry or like just to get more information about what we're talking about, it's globalawexperience@gmail.com. Global, GLOBAL, AWE, experience, experience. Globalawexperience@gmail.com.
Amen. I want to encourage you. Some things are according to your faith. And a lot of times, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. And a lot of times, that's what we've come out of traditional church, and they've encouraged us to hold on and to wait. But like the man God was saying, when Jesus came, he was doing stuff now, praise God. And when God shows up at our church, he's ready to do something. And I think we put people on hold, or we put things on hold. And so, anyways, praise God, he's going to be back tomorrow. And so we will see you tomorrow. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed our broadcast, and I hope you enjoy our daily broadcast. And if it has been a blessing to you, we would like to give you an opportunity to sow into the ministry. Now, you could use our church telephone number, which is connected to the church Zelle account. The telephone number is 321-358-7455. Also, if you want to send your love offering, love gift through Zelle using our email account, it is vipministries@att.net. Again, those are for Zelle, but if you would like to Cash App, you can Cash App us at $Victory with an I. In other words, $VICTORI57. We sure hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You could use also that telephone number to tell us if the broadcast has been a blessing to you, or the email address. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. Our address is 250 North Babcock in the city of Melbourne, Florida. Our Sunday morning services start at 11 a.m. All right, God bless you.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, Bible teacher and author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. Well, John, we've all read in the Bible that the call to follow Jesus is hard, demanding, even radical. And one of those calls to discipleship appears in Luke 9, where Jesus said to one man, "Follow me." But he answered Jesus with what seems to be a legitimate request. Here's the passage. He said, "Lord, permit me to first go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God." Well, John, are the demands of discipleship so high that a man can't grieve his father's death? What's going on in this passage?
Well, of course not. The demands of discipleship are not so high that a man can't grieve his father's death. That's just normal stuff. But that's not what's going on here. The idea is the man's father hadn't even died. What he was saying was, "Whoa, wait a minute. You were telling me I got to follow you now, drop everything, take up my cross," you know, in the words that Jesus used. "I need to go home first and wait till my father dies and is buried, so I can get my inheritance." The demands of discipleship are so high that when the Lord calls, you follow and trust Him to make all